time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and I do pastor here in Linden, the Linden United Reformed Church. And as you know, we have made Abounding Grace Radio its own separate entity, and we do invite both your prayerful and financial support. We love to bring these radio broadcasts to you, but they do cost a considerable deal of money. And so if this has been a blessing to you and you're growing in God's Word and you want them to continue, do please write to us. P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our brand new website, agradio.org. Well, you know, yesterday we opened up 1 Samuel's chapter 6, and there's a crucial question in this text that is driving everything that we're studying here. Listen to verse 20. Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? That might be the most important question you could ever ask of yourself in this whole life that you exist under the sun. God made you. God created you. You've sinned. You're fallen in Adam. I'm fallen in Adam. And God's justice demands that sin committed against his supreme majesty must be punished with a supreme penalty of eternal punishment of body and soul. How do I escape that? If I can't stand before him, how am I going to escape that? And, you know, the Heidelberg Catechism we said yesterday, which is such a beautiful document. Go back and look at it. 1563 was written to teach Christians the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Christians don't know that today. And think of this question. If we deserve God's punishment, according to God's righteous judgment, both now and in eternity, how then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? Isn't that the question? And you see, what makes Christianity different from every other world religion is every other world religion's offering their own righteousness to appease an angry God. Every other world religion has their way. You've got to climb a ladder yourself to God. You've got to do a requisite amount of good deeds. You've got to keep the law. You know, the Aztecs every year tried to appease an angry God by taking a flint obsidian knife and cutting out a heart of someone. And we confess that the wonderful truth of Christianity is the only way that need can be met is that no mere creature can do it. God himself would have to do it. And what do we confess about Jesus Christ is that he is true God, truly human and truly divine. He took on our human nature. He came here. He endured the wrath of God because he was able as true God. And all those who believe in him are covered by his righteousness. That's how they're able to stand. That's the gospel. And it's something that we need to learn again very, very well. Well, here in 1 Samuel chapter 6, remember the scene? They didn't understand that question. Israel lost sight of it, and they take the ark, which was symbolically of God's dwelling place, where he dwelled between the cherubim. It was his throne, and they took it, and they thrust it right on the battlefield, and the whole thing got stolen by the Philistines. And so here we are. The Lord is teaching Israel something through this event, that they would never forget about the holiness of their God. Now, here's where we are. The Philistines are getting hit hard with the plagues because the ark is in their land. It's been there 7 months. 7 months has been awful. They need to get rid of the ark because of the plague that's hitting them. It's bubonic plague. It was plague tumors in their private parts. Rats and mice were filling the land. It was awful. And people are crying out. The cries were rising up to heaven because people were getting struck, both small and great. Great blows. So here it sits after 7 months. And finally, they say, we've got to move it out of here. Well, the diviners and the wise men get together and they say to the Philistine lords, "Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts?" It's the same word, of course. And what you have here in 1 Samuel chapter 6 is that the whole history of Israel is being repeated. Only this time, the Ark of God, which represents God's presence, is here in exile. What a shocking and tragic event. The ark of the presence of the Lord who dwells between the cherubim in the hand of uncircumcised Philistines. So the shame of this whole thing is just tremendous. All because Israel had no reverence for God. All because in complete disregard of his holiness, they thrust his throne right on the battlefield and it gets stolen. Well, here we are. Back in the Philistine country, great council meeting happens. The plagues have come upon them. So the diviners and the wise men get together, and here's what they do. They begin to take what they had learned from the Exodus. Listen, everyone in the area knew what God had done to the Egyptians, and they heard about it. They knew about it for years and years and years. And so they study it. And they devise a way, into verse 8, to send it away and to let it go. Does this sound familiar? Get the picture for a minute, if you know your history. The ark here is in exile. Plagues have overcome the Philistines just like the Egyptians. But they hardened their hearts and wouldn't let it go until the appointed time, 7 months, the number of perfection. And finally, after hearing the servant say, "Let it go," they let the ark go. Finally happens. This is a whole repeat of the Exodus history. And so we read in verse 3 that they say, "If you send away the ark of God, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." So these diviners remember that in the Exodus event, God seemed to be satisfied by sending away the Israelites with all the riches and the gold of Egypt. And so the Philistines do this. But then comes something curious. What's the single issue the text raises? Listen to verse 4. "What is the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" Now that's a huge question, isn't it? They knew they had blatantly offended the God of Israel. And so they answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all you and your land. Therefore you shall make images of your rats that ravage the land, of your tumors and your rats. Now, dear listener, I find this amazing. Remember, God preserved this account in a miraculous way, didn't he? Who was there? Well, someone had to be there, some witness, and the Holy Spirit wanted this inspired and studied for future generations to consider this. Here, the whole ark capture is set in the very framework of the original Exodus. Why? Well, isn't it something that the single issue that comes out here, the single great issue that gets raised here, is the issue of how God can be propitiated, how God's wrath can be satisfied. Israel's deliverance, when they had been exodused out of Egypt, came in the night of the Passover, remember? When the blood of a perfect lamb covered them. And the sad thing here is the Philistines had no knowledge of how this God could really be propitiated. Propitiated means to be satisfied, appeased, an angry God because of sin. And all they can come up with is the idea of making the trespass offering with the images of the plagues that God hit them with in gold. So that's what they do. They make golden images of their tumors, golden images of the rats and mice, hoping that God would be satisfied with that kind of offering. And here's the tragedy today, dear listener. The Philistines fully understood that this holy God needs to be propitiated, his wrath turned away. And yet this is the best they can offer. You seeing the picture here? Everyone has some understanding that some God out there needs to be propitiated. They don't know the true God, but they're trying to propitiate the God of the Bible. They're trying to propitiate a God, whoever it is. They understand the fall. They understand that we're all in a bad situation and that someone needs to be made happy. Pagan nations have always tried to appease their gods. The Aztecs every year would lay a victim on the altar. They would take an obsidian flint knife. They would cut out the heart and hold it up to the sun to appease that angry, burning god. Do you see why our Heidelberg is asking a question here? The Heidelberg Catechism, it's a Protestant document. The question is this: God is holy. God demands payment. Is there anything of mere creation that can do it? If gold can't do it, what about one of us? What about one of our lives? Can one of our lives do it? Do we have the ability? Can we release others? And the answer is very clear. No one has the ability. No one can offer a sacrifice that will please this God, that can actually bear the weight of his anger. Now here's the moving thing. When Israel read this, generations to come, you think it hit them like a ton of bricks? Trespass offering? Come on, Philistines, that's because of sin. And you need a perfect ram. We know that. You need a perfect ram without blemish. God won't accept anything else. Ah, those Philistines should know better than that. But I wonder if it dawned on them at that moment what had happened. You know what the first chapters show us? The whole sacrificial system in Israel and the priesthood had become completely corrupted because in Israel itself, there was no longer any understanding of this need anymore. Do you know what the Lord said to Eli? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling place? And it means just that. He took his foot and he booted the sacrifices right on out of Israel. The sacrifices which taught them the gospel, and the glory departed. And here's my point. The very thing the Philistines lacked without understanding, I want to say Israel lacked with understanding. But the reality is the same ignorance had fallen on them. Dear listener, they had no idea, as God's people, how they could stand before this holy God. They had no idea how they could be forgiven. They had no idea that none of their righteousness could obtain it, and that they were an offense to God because they treated him with such contempt and disregarded his holiness. You think anything different is happening today? This is the very problem that's come on the church. Who understands this holy God? We need to return to the gospel. We need to be overwhelmed with the good news that Christ shed his blood. He is the answer. He propitiates the wrath of God. And all who come to him by faith alone are covered. Let's recover that great message of the gospel.
We thank you for tuning in today. As a listener-supported program, we welcome your prayerful and financial support. To find out more about how you can contribute to these broadcasts, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That's www.agradio.org. Many resources are there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.